Eye on the Arctic. Views from the North, I'm Elise Quinn. Well, the Arctic Council is celebrating its 20th anniversary this month. And to mark the occasion here at Eye on the Arctic, we're bringing you a series of interviews with Northern experts from around the globe. Now, today, we're joined by Ayat Nilsson. He's the Executive Secretary of the China Nordic Arctic Research Center that's based in Shanghai. But today, we've reached him in the Icelandic Arctic in Eikeri. And Ayat Nilsson, hello.
Hi.
How do you see the Arctic Council as having evolved in the last 20 years?
Well, I think that the main sort of principles of the sustainable development of the Arctic and the well-being of its inhabitants are still the prime drivers of the Arctic Council. But, of course, it's become a more established unit and sort of the unchallenged leading intergovernmental forum for the Arctic Cooperation. So in that sense, I would say it's evolved quite a lot. For example, with the Permanent Secretariat in Tromsø and with new observers from Asian and the European states, just to name a few factors.
How do you see the international interest in the Arctic from non-Arctic countries in places like Europe or Asia? How has the Arctic Council responded to that? And has it changed the Arctic Council at all?
Well, I think the response has been very good in the sense that with new observers that can then both observe but also take part in the work groups of the Arctic Council, it has really opened up towards that demand. Today, I mean, at least from my perspective, I would say that it's very important to note that although, I mean, climate change and security issues, for example, are still very important as they were 20 years ago, you also see new sort of global drivers such as urbanization around the world, natural resource scarcity, and globalization that makes the Arctic more relevant for example, Asian countries. So the fact that you have these global push factors and you have the Arctic Council opening up towards them and participating in them, I think that's a very good blend.
What are some of the other important accomplishments that the Arctic Council has realized during its lifespan?
Well, I think underlying knowledge from all the work that the Arctic Council and especially its work groups has produced, for example, with the Arctic Marine Shipping Assessment in 2009 and the Arctic Human Development Report 2004 and then again 2014, it's been very important to sort of underline what the region is about, promoting the scientific and knowledge factors of the Arctic. Another very important factor are the agreements that are not signed under the Arctic Council, but are sort of negotiated under the auspices of the Council when it comes to the oil spill response agreement and the search and rescue agreement between the 8 Arctic states. So I think the Arctic Council has really played, obviously, a very important role in facilitating these sort of cooperation initiatives. And also when it comes to, for example, the business community, because the Arctic Economic Council, although it's now and probably should be run by business for business, it's an idea from the Arctic Council, which then became an initiative that the business took forward.
And what would you like to see the Arctic Council either do more of or less of?
When you say more of, I mean, it could be better funded in the sense that you could have sort of more in-depth research on many other things. And when it comes to the ministerials and so on, I mean, they provide a lot of good input, but they're not always too high on the agenda of all the Arctic states, but I think we are really seeing a change towards the Arctic becoming a bigger aspect of, for example, foreign policy of most of the Arctic states, which is positive. When it comes to sort of less of, I would say that the Arctic Council shouldn't really do everything in the Arctic. There are a lot of other, complementary initiatives. So, for example, conferences on the Arctic whether it's the Arctic Circle Assembly, which is annually hosted in Iceland and had over 2,000 participants from 50 countries in an open dialogue on Arctic affairs, or the Arctic Frontiers Conference in Tromsø, which is annually in January and has been for 10 years. I mean, these are sort of forums that is very good to have sort of an independent view of and outside of sort of the governments of the Arctic states. Another factor could be mentioned, sort of, for example, with the World Economic Forum Global Agenda Council on the Arctic, where you have an initiative called the Arctic Investment Protocol coming out. And again, I mean, this is an important step, and it's good that you have these complementarities to the Arctic Council, which is, of course, more the political side, and then you have the economic side and then the scientific, and they all blend, but it's also good to have some independent sort of input.
Why do you think the world should be paying more attention to the Council's work, or maybe you think they shouldn't be?
What's really important from the work of the Arctic Council is that they've been producing a lot of important knowledge-based inputs the past 20 years, and that's something that you know, you would always hope that feeds the media, but the media tends to have more, if you have a more grabbing headline, you usually go for that, I guess. But when it comes to sort of what the Arctic Council is and has been doing, I mean, for me, I think it's very often media worthy, but if you don't have sort of these big statements, then it can be harder to grab the attention of the media. And when it comes to the global aspects, obviously the Arctic is in a very different place than it was only 5 years ago. So the Arctic Council is one and probably the most important the underlying factor of the cooperation that has been facilitated there.
Ian Nielsen, thank you so much for your time today.